Bridgerton?
I don't think we can. From what I understand, our censors, which is me, would say, no, we cannot.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Lucy McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Back from vacation.
Back from vacation.
Not from you.
Not from
me.
Just back. Just here. It wasn't going to be vacation anyway. It was a work trip.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were supposed to maintain. That was a work trip.
It was a work trip.
Not vacation.
Believe me when I tell you, it was a work trip.
Is that about the people you're going with or the excursions that you would be doing?
All of the above.
Yeah.
It's not like a judgment on the people, but I'm like, I'm still responsible for them. I'm not just like.
That's
yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, there are oftentimes to my wife, I'm like, look, my job is very fun, but it's still a job.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not like.
How does that go? Look. Is she like, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I understand.
No.
That's what I thought.
She does not have on her empathetic listening skills with me because of that.
You're right.
When I'm like, sorry, you need to put the kids to bed. I have to go play laser tag.
Hey, yeah. Okay.
Blazer tag, actually.
That's right. Blazer.
It's laser tag. We wear a blazer.
Obviously. I feel like that was self-explanatory.
Obviously.
All right. I got a new story for us.
All right.
It's about running.
All right.
Okay.
Ugh. I went for a run this morning.
I went for a run yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you go?
In the woods.
Okay.
Where'd you go?
To a park near here.
Okay. You, like, go to a destination?
There's a park with a jogging trail.
Okay.
And so I was, doing some intentional stuff on that.
This is from Runner's World.
Yeah. They're a well-known publication. Why are you
I'm
already
very
disparaging
them? I'm confused by this. We don't usually talk about exercise. We talk about eating.
Well, we can combine both right here. Runners are discovering they can churn butter on their runs, and it's surprisingly easy.
Oh, no. How are they churning the butter?
It's not as bad as you think.
Okay.
I mean, it's weird, but it's not like gross.
Oh, you've already read this article.
I haven't read
you?
This article. I heard about it on another thing. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
On your other running websites.
Runner nerd.
Yes. I'm not a Runner's World guy. I'm a Runner's Digest.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what resource Patrick's goes to get these news stories, but like 7 out of 10 times, it's already come up on Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. And so I actually heard it about it.
I do not use them because I don't want
to. I'm not saying you use them. I'm just saying like you guys almost always find the same funny things. And
maybe we should Peter Segal, right?
Yeah.
We should invite him onto the podcast.
Yeah, get Peter.
Kindred spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. He also does not have any funding currently, so never go.
Great. Come do this for free as well.
All right. This is Libby Cope, an Oregon-based outdoor and running content creator.
So real weird.
Yeah.
Asks questions, when's the last time you made butter and ran simultaneously?
You know,
never done it.
Yeah.
So how they do it is you pour heavy cream and salt into a Ziploc bag and basically put that on your person and then you just go run.
Yep.
This begs the question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Haven't you ever finished a run and thought to yourself, I want just some homemade butter.
A handful of butter.
Yep, it's right here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Immediately available to me, in my pockets.
They put the zippy in their vest, run, and at the end they can spread it on bread and dig in.
Yeah. Now, I will say, you got to go for a pretty good run. Like, you got to be... And I think you'd have to have kind of bad form. Because if you have really good form, you're pretty smooth. I don't think it's going to churn. And like, I think you kind of have to be more like
some jiggle.
Trail with a bounce, which is not as good for your knees.
Right.
But trail running, you probably have to go 45 minutes to an hour. It's going to be a...
What if it busts in your vest, too? Then you just have...
I think she actually put it in a jar in a bag. Okay. That's what I saw.
In a jar in a bag in a vest.
Yeah. So like the jar's not going to break.
On a human running down a trail.
Unless you fall.
That's true.
Right, and then that's an injury.
But then it's in the bag.
Or the shards of glass are in your
you
skin.
You get a plastic jar. It doesn't have to be.
There are easier ways
there are. That's true.
Come by butter, I think.
Like running to the store.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, or picking it up.
Yeah. Like door dashing.
I can go right now and put like HEB, get me butter. I'm gonna show up and you'll just bring it to me.
Yeah.
I don't got to run anywhere for my butter.
Right. Book your butter appointment on the app.
Well, Libby Cope, in talking with Runner's World over Zoom, she went around. She used to be vegan, but she couldn't get good butter as a vegan. And by the way, used to be vegan, we know.
Right.
You're an Oregon running content creator. We know. We got you're that. You're yeah. vegan. Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to tell us. That's
also
a given.
You can't get good anything as a vegan. Like, that's just part of it. It's part of the gig.
I mean, some vegetables are good. Some fruit is good.
Vegetables are good once in a blue
yeah.
moon.
Like, yeah, I would probably say, like, well, they can't. They don't put butter on those vegetables.
That's true. Right. Fruit is good. You don't need to put butter on fruit.
Yeah, I would say the fruit of the vegan and the fruit of the carnivore, exact same fruit. Right. Nothing they're doing with that fruit is making it better.
Right. Yeah. That'd be great if like the produce section was like, no, completely vegan. I'm like, wait a second. Wait. What was on my tomato before?
It's just marketing.
But her love of high quality milk gave the idea for a churn run.
Yep. We all try to justify something. Mm-hmm. I'm vegan, but I just can't quit you, milk.
Or my own or homemade butter.
Yeah.
That's not why I am not a vegan. It's for the milk.
Right. No, it's for the ice cream and the steak.
It's just for the meat. Yeah.
I mean, the ice cream is good. That is milk-based, yeah. I think there are lots of milk-based products that are the reason, that, like milk, ice creams, cheeses, things of that sort, yeah. that have a heavy reason to do with why I'm not vegan.
Right.
And the meats.
Yeah. Yeah. The meats and the cheeses and the...
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So she asked.
It's not like I'm in it for the animal cruelty. That's all I'm saying. I'm not in it for that.
I'm not like, oh, yes, beat that cow. You know?
I'm not in it for that.
I am, though. Right. I tell every vegan, for every one animal you don't eat, I'm going to eat three.
Yeah. That'll teach you.
Just balance it out.
So if you actually want to save animals, eat meat, and I'll eat one. And then we'll both eat one, saves one animal.
Genius.
All right. She treated herself to, about a month ago, she treated herself to a bottle of cream top milk to put in her coffee, and noticing how easy it foamed up when shaken, she wondered if it could turn into butter on a run.
Yes, obviously it could. That's how did. That's how butter happens.
And she just, here's a photo of her with her her bag buttermilk.
There you go.
It does not look good.
Yuck, yeah.
I mean, you got to strain it out. It's like, that's not, the butter. The butter's not done
I'll
yet.
I feel a little bit like a clandestine thing. Clandestine. Like I'm going to sneak my butter into my vest.
Because you don't want anybody to know about it. Yeah, that's why.
Like, all her vegan friends who she's running with.
You can't just go buy butter in the store. Like,
especially, I bet that heavy cream that she's buying special is not cheaper.
No.
Than regular butter? Probably
but just
not.
Just getting butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it work with vegan cream? Is that a thing?
I was going to say, this would be a little bit of a different thing.
They have like lactose-free, dairy-free things.
They do. I don't know if they have a vegan one, but this would be a different thing if it was like, okay, I cannot find good vegan butter, so I have to make my own, and this is the easiest way.
And so I'm going to run it. Yeah.
But it's not. It's not, just butter.
You can buy
butter. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. If you want to know how to make butter, oil and water can't mix unless they're emulsified, and milk itself is an emulsion.
It's true.
It begins to separate after it sits for a while. Mm-hmm. Fatty stuff goes to the top. Mm-hmm. That gets scraped off and known as cream. And there you go.
I think I'm going to make some
cream
butter.
And the cream can become butter.
Are you going to bring it?
I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to let you do it to a taste test and see if you can tell the difference between real butter and run butter.
I don't think I'm all that interested in your run butter.
I don't want your run
I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to bring you a piece of butter bread and tell you what it is.
It's like a lot of proximity to like sweatiness.
Yeah.
It's in a vest and in a bag.
Still. Mentally.
Also, like, runners, can't you just be normal? Can't y'all just do normal stuff?
We already like to run. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's
I don't
fair.
Want to run.
Yeah.
You'll get there. You'll come around.
People have said that. It's been like 3 years now.
Like, it's just happen. Like, here's a runner doing something weird. I'm like, yeah, I get it. That's what they do.
Yeah. I have a running story.
Listen, I went for a perfectly normal run today, okay?
Did you make ice cream?
Tragically, no.
I went to go get fitted for new running shoes a few weeks ago, and I went to the Fleet Feet store over
at Houston. Did you do the foot scanner thing?
I did, yeah. Very cool. Yeah. But I was talking to the lady that was fitting me for my running shoes, and she's like, okay, are you like just starting out, or are you training for something? And I was like, well, I'm not training for anything, but I run like a few miles a few times a week. And she's like, okay, so just starting out. And I was like, girl, like
that was bad salesmanship right there.
No,
yeah.
Thank you. If there was another running shoe store convenient enough to walk to, I would go there.
But there's not. But so there's here not. I am. Yeah. That was poor salespersonship on her part. Yeah.
Well, this is her conclusion. Oh. Sometimes it's easier to forget what you're doing it for running. It's easier to forget why you're running. It's not just for a bunch of muddles and all that. I agree. It would be easy to forget why I'm doing it because it's miserable. It's just for vibes. Just for the butter.
Just for the vibes.
Is that what you run? Just for vibes?
I mean, more than for the butter, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't even thought about running for butter.
For butter or worse.
Yeah, butter or for worse. Here we are.
Can I make butter while getting married? Can I?
I think
you
this
run
has
with
made,
your spouse. Yeah.
This has made butter worse.
That's true. Yeah, all I know is if I'm ever going to any of your homes and there's butter on the table, I'm like, I need to see the container that this thing came in. Show me the packaging.
Right.
And then I show you my running vest.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a running vest. It's
I
okay.
don't either.
I did recently get a running belt. It's pretty great.
Should we talk more about it?
No, I'm just telling you. It's okay. Great.
What's on the running belt?
There's a pouch Tools. Where I can put a water bottle.
Your butter?
And then I have a pocket where I can put like cell phone keys and things like that. Well, yeah, I could put butter in there now. Now that, well,
now
milk
that you
to
know.
Make butter. Yeah.
So is this just like a fanny pack?
No, it's not, well, I mean, it's the same idea as a fanny pack, but it's not a fanny pack. It's the same concept. It's not the same thing.
Sure.
It's got more things than a fanny pack. Fanny pack just has one pack. This is multiple fannies.
Okay. So like in that thing where every food can be broken down to like soup, sandwich, or salad. That's a fanny pack.
I mean, it's in the fanny pack family. So.
Yeah. Okay. In the fanny pack family.
But it's not like, sure. I don't look like a mom from the 80s going sure. through Disney World with the fanny pack.
Sisters, not twins in the fanny pack
yeah,
family.
That's fine. Yeah.
When I went to Universal and the cultures, I did wear a fanny pack. So.
That tracks.
I like, yeah. I have a fanny pack today. Look.
Yeah, that's a fanny pack. That the crossbody bag yeah. is a fanny pack that you're not wearing on your face.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's get to our main topic.
My belt doesn't look like that.
Your belt doesn't? That's your argument? Your belt bag doesn't look like that belt bag?
But if you had a cup holder.
Right.
We'd be closer.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably an attachment you can make.
Right.
Yeah. You can at least 3D print one. This is from the New York Times.
Ooh,
so
our friends.
Whoa, wow. Not our friends. Yeah.
They don't know us.
Well,
yeah.
We can be friends with them.
We can say we're friends with them.
We sent them a friend request and they left. They did not.
Yeah.
They neither accepted nor denied it.
So unresponded.
Unresponded.
I do that all the time, not on purpose, just because I'm never on Facebook. So.
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to actually be Facebook friends with this person, but I'm not. Mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I will just leave it on red.
And then block them.
So they never know. They think you died.
That's right.
Yeah, they're not getting any of my stuff on Facebook, but like,
right.
I don't know who's posting what anyway.
Yeah. Because the algorithm is just like, here's a cat video.
So I don't, and not in my mind, I'm not like, you know what? I haven't seen much from this person I knew 10 years ago.
It's true.
Yeah.
On Facebook. What are they up to? I don't know.
I don't care.
Maybe they're making run butter.
Yeah.
Run butter.
Probably. Mm.
Friends, don't let friends make run butter.
What about rum butter?
Ooh, that rum butter.
Better,
no,
yeah. Festive.
That's a real thing, I think.
I think it is. So. If it's not, it should be.
Like we can make some
rum butter.
It's hard to say. Yeah. Rum butter.
I think that's a character in Cats.
Rum butter.
It's Rum Tum Tugger.
Oh my gosh, you knew that off the top of your head. A Cats fact?
I've seen like, Cats a lot of times. My mom used to really like
Cats. I was going to say, there's like a weird story here about Patrick's knowledge of Cats.
It's terrible. It's the worst musical. I don't even see it. There's no plot. It's just a bunch of cats. And they just come out and they're like, here's another cat. And
but
the cat
sings
a song.
One is Rum Tum Tugger.
And you're like, this cat's really fat. I'm like, okay. And this cat is sexy, and that's the Rum Tum Tugger cat.
Rum Tum Tugger is the sexy cat? I thought that was the fat cat.
A lot of middle-aged women are like, ooh, it's weird.
Was your mom one of those?
Yeah, probably. You know the worst part of Cats is on the drive home from seeing Cats is when your mom is like, this is how my cat is like this cat in the musical Cats. I'm like, oh God, kill me.
Sounds amazing.
One does go to heaven or get abducted by aliens at the end. I don't know.
Okay.
Can we get her on the podcast?
Probably not.
The Cats?
Yeah, I want to talk to
her. Rum Tum Tugger?
Yeah.
Listen, someone out there is playing Rum Tum Tugger right now as we speak.
Sure.
Somebody.
Jason Derulo played him in the Cats movie musical.
Should I know who Jason Derulo is?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
And you should watch Bridgerton for the plot.
Is Jason Derulo in Bridgerton?
No.
Right. We're going to talk politics with the New York Times.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
We are not a politics podcast.
We are not. nor are we a New York Times podcast,
right.
Fair enough. If we're being honest.
Right.
So.
We're way out of our comfort zone today.
We're barely a podcast.
What I can guarantee is New York Times did not cover Run Butter. This is an opinion piece by David French, and okay. we have yeah. used David French before on the podcast.
Mr. French. Oui, oui.
Yeah, he's a you're a mean one.
Baguette.
Mr. French.
Got it.
He's fine. We, you know, I don't know him personally.
Yeah. He's another one of those guys where like we could have a reasonable conversation with even if we disagree on
I disagree with him on many, many things. Yeah. And yet a consistent theological and political messaging yeah. that I at least could at least
yeah.
acknowledge.
Could navigate, could agree to disagree.
Yep.
Probably be somewhat respectful.
Yeah.
As the heir to the mustard fortune.
Maybe that's what we must disagree with most. Is, right. You know, what kind of mustard would be best?
Great poupon.
Spicy brown. Yeah. yeah.
None
mustard.
The title is James Tallarico is a Christian X-ray. And so I chose this because James Tallarico is a Texas Senate candidate.
It's true.
In the Democratic Party now. He won the primary.
If we talk about James Tallarico, are we going to be required to talk about other people too? Or is the FCC going to shut us down or something like that? Isn't that a thing that happened?
I am willing to guess the FCC has no knowledge that we exist.
Great. All right. We'll fly under the radar.
Just in case. Trump. Okay.
Cornyn, Paxton, they're in a runoff.
There you go.
So there you go.
Nailed
that's
it.
A thing, that's
said,
a thing that
said
happened.
A thing. Yeah.
All right. Now we're safe.
And so I will it's definitely
like this,
say.
It's like those Facebook things where you're like, Facebook, I do not give you permission to use
my. Right.
I'm sorry. I'm focused now.
And for David French, he says, these days, I'm asked more about James Tallarico than I'm asked about any politician not named Donald Trump.
Sure. Hmm.
And I would kind of get it. I think mm-hmm. from being kind of a state senator from Austin,
yeah.
he's kind of had a pretty big meteoric. Rise. Yeah. yeah. Why do we call it a meteoric rise when meteors fall?
I don't know, but that's what it's called.
yeah.
From like...
I mean, I guess they got a rise from somewhere.
Being on Jubilee. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
That's
sounds
where
like a kid's show.
It is not a kid's show.
I'm thinking Glee. That's the, like, ensemble
also
not, thing.
Yeah, he's neither of those Glee? Things. Jubilee is the thing where basically one person goes on surrounded by 20 dissenting opinions.
Ooh.
And they take turns like coming and talking to the expert. Mm. So like,
who does, like where is this? Where can I see this? Sounds fascinating.
I think Jubilee is kind of the thing.
Like I just Googled Jubilee?
I'm sure you can find it.
Okay.
So usually, you know, it's like, here's a progressive lawmaker surrounded mm-hmm. by 20 MAGA people, and they'll kind sure. of come up. Or we've had like, here's a doctor surrounded by 20 anti-vaxxers, and they'll okay, come up yeah. and like kind of go back and forth a little bit and then tag out
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So he was on that. He was on Joe Rogan.
Oh.
He was on Colbert,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's been on Fox News several times to kind of like debate and kind of mm-hmm. go through these things. So kind of like a big, as a campaigner, I think he did a great job getting his message and yeah. face and name into a national market, even though he's running for Texas, for Senate,
right.
a national Senate seat, but in the state of Texas.
Right, sure, mm-hmm. sure. He doesn't need people from other states to vote for him.
He can't have other people from other states vote for him.
Well, not, yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Not yet.
He's not trying to get them to vote for him right now, yeah.
Maybe he will.
Who knows?
We'll see. I will say I did vote for James Tallarico in the primary process.
Okay.
I found his message refreshing, and okay. we'll get into it. Yeah, so I thought this would be good, even though we're not a political podcast. We definitely touch on Christianity and politics when they sure. intersect, which is often. and we talk about it less than it actually intersects.
Sure.
Yeah.
And probably for some listeners, maybe more than they would like, but... It intersects. Christianity and politics have a pretty strong overlap, especially with the rise of Christian nationalism and mm-hmm. a lot of these things. And we don't, you know, it's often. But if you don't know, James Tallarico is a 36-year-old Texas state representative and the Democratic.
He's younger than me.
Older than me.
This is disappointing that I'm now like being served by officials who are younger than me.
That's, yep.
Okay. He's his adulthood.
And this is from David French. The Democratic Party's latest and greatest hope for winning its first statewide election in more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm. In Texas. Not in Texas. Like anywhere.
Yeah.
It's first. Yeah.
Right. They've won other statewide elections in other places.
Right.
I think he's got I would not put him as the favorite, but I think he has a real chance.
Yeah.
A better.
I'm trying not to get excited about it, honestly. Like
tempered expectation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would be delighted if he won.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to be like, yeah, we got this.
I guess, like, why does that matter to David French? What's his point?
So why David French is asked about James Tallarico more than again, like James David French does not live in Texas. He's not a Democrat. And so why would people ask about James Tallarico? It's because James Tallarico roots his policies and ideology and Christian beliefs. He's a seminarian willing to dive deep into theology.
And the Presbyterian Church, I
believe. And when arguing about the religious right, say Christian nationalism, he makes a specifically Christian argument to counter a poisonous Christian movement. So yeah, I think that this is kind of an interesting one, is that he is 100% bringing Christian faith into statements about politics on the left. And normally, if you're like, this is a politician talking about faith, they're probably conservative. And not to say people on the left don't have faith. They do. The majority of people are Christians in America. And so even though the right gets a sizable, you know, portion of the Christian faith,
certainly
it's not
the
like
loudest portion,
a loudest, and probably the majority. It's not like there's none on like the Democratic side. It's not a Christian versus non-Christian debate. Sometimes the right frames it that way, but I don't think it is that. Joe Biden went to Catholic Mass, quite often while president. So, this is what he said. In a sermon, just Tallarico said, in a sermon in 2023, Jesus liberates, Christian nationalism controls. Jesus saves, Christian nationalism kills. Jesus started a universal movement based on mutual love. Christian nationalism is a sectarian movement based on mutual hate. And I think, yeah, this is why somewhat interesting that I think a lot of people have started having these conversations. And I've even already seen, it's March at time of recording, there's not even a Republican nominee to go against him just yet. And there's already kind of attack ads coming out against him. Already, we got to start tearing down Tallarico from opposition. Because I think his message is intriguing for many people out there, highlighting Christian faith and progressive ideology in politics.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's highlighting progressive ideology as much as it's highlighting an alternative to the way that politics has been done and the way that Christianity has been invoked in politics in recent years. Right? Like, I think particularly in the last 6 months, as I've had conversations with people, a lot of people have said to me, like, this has gotten, this is not what I signed up for, right? Like, even as people who are like, you know, perhaps I voted for a conservative Republican because I, you know, had these values, like, this is not what I intended. And I think they're seeing things and they're looking for alternatives, but people who speak their language. And I think in a lot of ways, Tallarico does still speak the language of Christianity very clearly. And I'll even say as a pastor, right, like not everybody who talks Christianity the way that I would as a pastor or the way that I appreciate as a pastor, right? But he brings a level of clarity and clarity of theology and clarity of stance that I think is really important, right? He's not just like throwing out platitudes. He's able to, you know, go toe to toe and say, you know, Bible or, you know, chapter and verse, here's what the scripture says. And this is why I believe what I believe, as opposed to we should love people, which is not a bad thing, but is like hard to like motivate a movement behind, as opposed to saying like, no, this is where we talk about Jesus doing this or
You know, David French says, there's when he hears him speak, there's a lot of vacillating between agreement and disagreement. And that would make sense because David French is a conservative Christian lawyer and columnist from Virginia, I believe. So, yeah, I assume Tallarico and French are not going to agree on a lot. That just and probably the things I would disagree with most about James Tallarico would not be his political things, but some of his theological statements. I'd be like, I don't actually believe that. But like theologically, but that's okay. You know, like, but he says, this is, you know, again from David French, Tallarico isn't just make arguments. He's giving people hope. And I think I know why. Put simply, if the primary American divide is between right and left, then Tallarico isn't that interesting. There's a long history of progressive religious activism in the United States, just as there's a long history of conservative religious activism. Yet, if the primary American divide is between decent and indecent, then the equation changes and Tallarico shines. And I think this is probably why, for me, I find it like most interesting, like him, an interesting political figure, is speaking with like a level of like kindness to his words. Like when he went on Jubilee, and I watched some of that, and again, it's him and 20 Christian nationalists slash MAGA Christians, and they're debating. It's like a level of kindness towards the person and understanding towards the person on the other side of the table. And I found that refreshing in a sense and alluring as like a voter of like, that is what I want it to look like. And maybe what do you see in that kind of messaging, like good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look to the life of Jesus as a model for how we as Christians look out, right? Jesus was a master of empathetic listening. And it didn't mean that he took on the stances of the people he was listening to, but he was able to hear wherever people came from without himself taking on their anxiety and like rising to the anger and the aggression that was being thrown at him, right? He's being beaten and thrown before Pilate, and he has an opportunity to throw everybody else under the bus. And he's like, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be, right? And, you know, what is truth? This is kind of big, or he and Pilate's big interaction there. And so I think if we are claiming seriously to be followers of Jesus, I think taking that path in those conversations is important. What's challenging and what people will argue against is that people will say you can't fight fire with nothing, right? And I think there's an argument to that, but I think when we're in the political arena, if we can't step in and approach politics with kindness, then how do we get anything accomplished for the greater community? How do we do anything if we can't step in and be kind towards even people we disagree with and then have those disagreements that allow us to move the needle somewhere else? I don't know. Yeah.
And look, I can say this, like, I know, like, in a political divided world, I'm a straight, white, middle-aged man. I am insulated.
Just to be clear, even if we weren't politically divided, those things are still true, right?
That was correct.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Yeah. I can acknowledge I am insulated from most of the policies and laws addressed, passed, you know, argued over. I know that the probably the biggest things that are going to affect me directly are financial. I know that completely. So I know it's a privilege to say I'd like to get back to a world where we can look, have disagreements with love and respect, because I am insulated from a lot of it. And I know that for many people who feel they are not insulated from it, they're at the forefront of that fight. They might not find Tallarico all that refreshing of a person. They might want somebody who goes on Jubilee and goes to a Christian nationalist or a MAGA Christian and beats them down and like fights fire with fire.
Yeah.
And like, let's not just win with ideology, let's win with dominance. Like a same level of dominance that has been used against them, let's use that same level of dominance back again. I would get it. But I do find this refreshing. And I do find this intriguing. So but I'm willing to acknowledge that's a privilege that I can do those things. For David French, he said, look, when we've evaluated Christian politics primarily through their policy position, for too long we've evaluated Christians in politics primarily through their policy positions. Are you pro-life or pro-choice? Do you support same-sex marriage or not? What's your position on immigration? And David says, that's really backwards. And I would agree. Because he says, when you read the Bible, it doesn't say any of those things. There are very, very few things that are clear Christian mandates that we must do. The Bible has nothing to say about tax rate, nothing to say about welfare, nothing to say about foreign policy that we can really utilize for today's world. That is so clear and so obvious. But there's an immense amount on how we should be as human beings. That how we should be kind, how we should embrace love, joy, peace, patience in dealing with one another. And so I think what makes Tallarico interesting is not just he speaks the right Christian policies, but he speaks the right Christian kindness and life that I think matters in Christendom as we enter politics.
It was a statement, wasn't it? You think he's interesting because he speaks the right Christianity life into politics as opposed to just policies that traditionally line up with what we think of as a more conservative thereby Christian political stance.
No, one, I appreciate David French being honest about those policies. Because I think too long, like, Christians have said, like, the only Christian position is the one I agree with.
Yeah.
Some Christians have. I think they're, again, like you talked about, kind of the vocal Christians tend to be the ones that are more aligned with the right for some reason. I don't know that it really is the majority of Christians that are on the right. I think that's fair.
But I will say I see plenty of Christians who would openly align on the left who will also say what I think is the policy is the only Christian policy. And if you don't agree, and so they're maybe not as loud, right? But
I think that exists with people across the board. And both political sides have their own, like, kind of people digging their heels in and entrenching themselves in their own ways of thinking, right? For sure. I think that's a people problem and not just a Christianity problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely say, and this is probably a topic for a future time, I think the left, politics on the left and Christians on the left, can also dip their toes into fundamentalism in a very real way of, like, it's this or nothing.
Yeah.
And that is equally dangerous and scary to me, even if I kind of agree with that side politically and theologically. And so, like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, when we approach, like, what does the Bible say about abortion? We covered that on our podcast, and I think we walked away with basically, like, really not much, if at all.
Yeah.
And the verses for and against aren't that strong of an argument.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can understand, you know, if you, whatever side you land on theologically and spiritually, I can kind of get it. But when you say the Bible clearly says it,
you've lost me.
In either direction.
You've really lost me because I don't think it clearly does.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's, you know, what both David French and I think James Hollerico are at least trying to come to the table and saying, like, we acknowledge the Bible does not clearly say how America in 2026 should handle a border issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I think there's verses to kind of glean wisdom from. But it's not clear.
Yeah.
I don't think it's obvious. But what is obvious is that people from both sides of that issue can come together and say, I'm approaching this situation with love for both my opponent and the people who this affects.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I want.
Yeah.
Not just my side to win, but to say, how can we have a conversation with love from both sides? And I guess you can't get that from the other side until you're willing to do that with your own.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I think it's, there's a reason that most, I don't want to say this, there's a reason that Christians for a long time have wrestled with how to be appropriately involved in politics. And it's not because we think, for the most part, it's not because we think, politics can do no good whatsoever. It's that the road to walk to faithfully maintain your Christian values and be an effective politician is so narrow and so riddled with landmines that I think it's just proven really difficult. And I think, unfortunately, in the modern era, and this is probably not exclusive to the modern era, but in the modern era, we've really seen people riding that Christian rail and, like, dragging the cross of Jesus with them down a path that does not align with where the path of Jesus is supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, like, as I hear Tallarico speak, right, whether I agree with him on his positions or not, as I hear him speak, I hear someone who I'm like, okay, you at least are speaking and acting and living in a way that feels like it aligns with what you claim about your faith in Jesus. And at least there's a consistency there that I can say I value and appreciate that consistency. Whether or not I'm going to vote for you, I value and appreciate that consistency. And I would like to see that across the political spectrum of people. And, like, I'm, and I guess to their credit, a lot of politicians are consistent. I just think that their consistency is not in line with what they're claiming about who Jesus is.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just, at the end of the day, it's just integrity, right? Simply put, that's just integrity. Like, being who you profess to be, your professed beliefs lining up with your actions and your policies as a politician, that's just integrity.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, politics lacks an integrity, right? So you have a lot of people who campaign on a platform, a belief system, right? who are just using that at the end of the day, that they don't have integrity, sure. right?
So. Well, and if we're not teaching integrity in our churches, then how do we expect our people to act with integrity in the voting booths or in the political spectrum, right? Like, I mean, I think that's one of the things that we really wrestle with at Lord of Life, is not to just come down and say, this is what we think, right? Mm-hmm. Or, that's not to say we don't do that. It's that, like, it's more nuanced, because the integrity is, we're wrestling with this too, and we're trying to figure this out too. And yeah, there are values that we hold that we're not going to shift on, right? Because that's part of our integrity. But those values, right, are always up to the interpretation of the Spirit, and how is the Spirit leading us and guiding us, and how are we living that out? And I think a lot of congregations are not wrestling with that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that we're doing it perfectly. It's just something that I think we're doing that helps with the integrity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. From David French in the article, and I think this is kind of reaching an end point here to think this through. He says, one reason politics has been so exhausting and even so frightening now is that we often know that the opposing politicians don't just disagree with us, but that they hate us. And if politicians hate us, then we know they won't listen to us, they won't care about us, and they may actively try to harm us while they're in office. And this is, again, David French, conservative Christian, says this. This is what MAGA Christianity has become. In that world, cruelty in the name of Trumpism is no vice. And kindness in the name of progressivism is no virtue.
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah, I think this is what I'm seeing in that form of Christianity, that you can be as cruel as you want to be with the most, like, sometimes the right accuses the left of virtue signaling and, like, just putting on, like, airs of caring without actually caring. I think the right, in MAGA Christianity, I think it's vice signaling. Who could be the most mean is the one who gets the most attention, accolades, and stars. You know, like, that's the one. Is who can say this in the cruelest possible way is a way, like, that's what we're, that version of Christianity seems to be most drawn to.
Yeah.
And when they see kindness on the other side, it's a threat, not something to be commended.
Yeah.
And I think that this maybe is why I find, again, this message of Tallarico most intriguing, is that a Christian can be in the public sphere and act like a Christian.
Yeah.
And uphold the virtues that we see in Scripture, not the policies that I might most want or most agree with, but the virtues. And if we can get to that space, I would feel so much more comfortable with us as a country navigating complicated policies with Christian virtue on top of it, not just my side needs to win and your side needs to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus did not go on record as saying any side needs to be destroyed other than, like,
death,
the evil one. Yeah. Death. Yeah.
Off the record.
Right. I don't know what Jesus said off the record. Right. I don't have the off the record commentary. There's some fan fiction for you. The off the record Jesus. Anyway,
I'm not writing fan fiction.
About Jesus.
About Jesus, no.
Any other thoughts for this one today?
I don't think so. I'm excited and intrigued to see where this goes. Because obviously there's going to be a lot of attack ads.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be, find any skeleton in his closet to pull out. And maybe there are, maybe there aren't. I have no idea.
Well, he probably has some Halloween decorations around somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe he's one of those Christians who doesn't celebrate Halloween.
Ooh, could be, yeah.
He goes to the fall festival.
That's his own skeleton. He doesn't actually celebrate Halloween. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But at least I'm intrigued to see, like, how can we continue to talk about Christ in this way with a level, hopefully, of, like, respect and kindness.
Yeah.
And maybe there is, in Texas, a kill him with kindness approach is viable. And I'm intrigued to see if it is.
Yeah.
And I'm in some ways, I'm hopeful he can win, not just because of his policy, but because I want that attitude to win more than policy to win.
That's fair.
So,
yeah.
If he wins or loses, you probably won't hear about it on this podcast. So watch your local news stories, I guess.
That's months from now.
I know, but I'm just saying, like,
nobody is going to be like, I know the election happened on Tuesday. I'm waiting for the following Monday for Beyond Sunday to tell me what happened.
I agree that no one's waiting. That's why I'm encouraging people to find
right after they t- tell me about people making butter while they run?
That's right.
Hopefully that was a one-time thing.
Do you think Tallarico makes run butter?
No.
He's lost my vote.
Yeah. No. He should not tell anybody if he does.
That's the new attack ad. Cornyn makes run butter.
Right. He's not running anywhere.
No.
It's pretty old.
Yeah, it's true. He is pretty burn. Old. I don't think it's that much of a burn to say John Cornyn is old. I think that's pretty obvious. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, you can find all of our stuff at BeyondSideOfPodcast.com and send us an email about how you would prefer to make your homemade butter, if not on a run, how. You can send it to us at BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.
Trampoline, by the way. That's my answer. Trampoline.
What?
Trampoline butter. That's how I would make butter.
Blazer tag butter.